The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing. Where this rainy week, like every rainy week, which seems to be every week here in Cincinnati these days, we've been bringing you the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. And today, we're going to talk about what you're probably getting wrong about private lending, private lenders, getting private lenders, raising private money. Got a couple of things to let you know about real quick before we jump into that important topic. Cincinnati REA's monthly online national chapter meeting is tomorrow, Thursday night. Starts at 6:30 with the Ask Room, where you can join hundreds of fellow investors from all over the United States for just you know, some networking. Ask for the thing that you most need, and I bet you'll get it, or I'll bet you hear somebody else say something that you can help them with. At 7 o'clock, we'll have a quick introduction to the new Lowe's discount program that is exclusive to Cincinnati REA, CoRE, and a couple of other group members that saves folks an extra 18% over their even their normal pro account savings. And then at 7:30, we're going to launch into what I think is going to be the most impactful AI real estate meeting you have ever seen. Why is it going to be impactful? Because it's not a lecture about how you ought to be using AI and like it'll do really cool things and help you in your business. It is six actual human beings who have implemented AI into their business. So now I'll say five of them are just normal people. They're just like you. They're not like tech savants or people who were into computer programming before AI came along. They're just folks who figured out that AI could help them run an easier, better business, and they have actually implemented it. They're not thinking about implementing it. They're not going to learn it someday. They're going to show you, not tell you, what they are doing with AI in their business. Now, the sixth person actually is an AI genius, tech savant, et cetera. That's Mr. Damon Remy from REI Black Book. But anyway, it's all online. You can sit and watch what other people are doing. Hopefully it will inspire you to get aboard the AI ship. Go to CincinnatiREA.com to get your link. Also on Saturday, there is a free all-day AI implementation workshop. Now you should check your local REA to see if they are, there's about 10 REA groups in the country that are participating in this. But if you go there and it's not there and you can't sign up for this free workshop, go ahead and sign up for it at CincinnatiREA.com. It is an all-day sort of walk you through how to set up some of these things. You're gonna get the opportunity to once you've signed up to upgrade to a still free VIP thing, and you're gonna want to do that because that's what's gonna give you the program that will actually allow you to follow along and set up things for yourself. So again, CincinnatiREA.com, that is Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. or 3 p.m. Eastern time. So back to this topic of private money. It amazes me how many people think that private money is what you get from hard money lenders, or private money is what you get from companies that they loan money for a living. like it's in the name, folks. It's private money. And because it is, when you're doing it right, it's truly private. The terms are not double digits plus points and you can only borrow it for 6 months to a year. The terms are whatever you and the private lender decide that it is. And there are some people who figured this out, and then there's a whole bunch of people who haven't. One of the ones who has figured it out is Chad Harris, who is joining us today by phone. Chad built an 80-door portfolio starting with nothing, using entirely owner financing, which, let's face it, is another kind of private money, and also private loans from other human beings. And he's here today to share what you're getting wrong about private money. Chad, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, thank you, Vina. Glad to be here.
And I'm glad to have you here, Chad, because people are going to listen to you for about 5 minutes and they're going to go, oh my God, this is just a regular guy.
I am. This is just a regular guy. That's right.
This isn't some slick influencer who gets people to give him money by posting on TikTok five times a day and, you know, being all controversial and doing hot takes and showing pictures of his fast car and his hot wife. And just a guy who had to figure out a way to support his family. And given your situation at that time, it had to be private money. So why don't you tell that story about how you got into real estate and discovered that private money was going to work for you?
Yeah, definitely. So I started in real estate in 2013. And really the reason, I was working overseas at the time in ministry, and we were in Kenya. We had come back to the States for the birth of my youngest son, and he had health issues, which, because of the complications that he had and the different, he needed a breathing machine. We couldn't return overseas, and so I needed to figure out how to provide for my family, how to find a house for us to live in. The car we were using was provided by a donor, so I needed to figure out a whole bunch of things really quickly to support my family. And I committed to real estate. I'd been listening to podcasts. My parents had had rentals, and I was familiar with it. And so I went out and I just started telling people, hey, I'm buying real estate. I am buying rentals. Now, keep in mind, I had no savings. I made very little money in ministry. There really was no reason I should have, you know, no traditional reason I would be able to buy real estate. But after I told people over and over and over again, I heard similar responses where they would say, oh, well, I always wanted to buy real estate. That sounds great. I thought about buying a rental 10 years ago, but just never did. I wish I had because the prices went up. Or I love watching all these shows on HGTV. And I realized that there was an opportunity there where I could help them do what they wanted, get into real estate, and I would help them get into real estate as a lender, and they could be the lender in my deal, and I could buy the rentals that I wanted. And once I figured that out, or that had that little spark, then it was just a matter of me helping as many people as I possibly could. And that allowed me to grow the business that I wanted.
Yeah, I don't have any money. I don't have enough income to actually convince a bank that I could make a payment on a house. And my job doesn't, you know, pay me very much is a really good reason to figure out some alternative way to do things if you're really serious about doing the real estate thing. And of course, your story is exactly what would have stopped probably 99 out of 100 people from getting into this business.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that, you know, turn to private money like me, because that's the only way they can get into real estate. But then once you figure out private money, you never want to go back, right? You're never going to go any other routes in the business because it is so beneficial.
So let's just start going down the line of what people misunderstand about private money? Because now that you're actually like helping other people get private money by teaching them how to go about doing it, I'm sure you hear the same things over and over and over and over and over again. So what do, when most investors think about private money, what do they think it is versus what it actually is?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, most people equate private money to hard money, just with kind of a softer name, but they think there's points in high interest and short loan terms, right? It's going to be at most a 12-month loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most investors think private money is.
And a bunch of qualification. I mean, hard money used to mean we're loaning against the asset and we don't really care who you are. But for the last, you know, going on 20 years now, that has not been the case. Like, you got to have a good credit score. You got to have down payment. You got to have, you know, in many cases, like a history. Like, have you done this before? So part of the confusion, of course, is that hard money lenders have started calling themselves private lenders. Because I think they like the word better, too. I don't think they like the term hard money.
Completely true. Yeah, hard money got a little bit of a bad name. Private money sounds a lot better.
Never mind that it's exactly the same rate, terms, and qualifications. It sounds better. Okay, so, but in your world, what is private money?
Yeah, in my world, the ideal private lender is someone who has money invested in the stock market, mutual funds, CDs, things like that. They're sophisticated, they understand investments, but they like the idea of real estate, but they're not currently invested in real estate. That's the ideal. And I explain to them how they can be a lender in real estate, and they're comparing that opportunity that I present to them to their other investments, whether that's a mutual fund or anything at risk in the stock market, or something with a fixed return like a CD. And so when I offer that they can get a fixed rate of return at 6% to 8% interest, and it's a long-term investment, 10-year note, and they get interest-only payments, they're comparing it to a CD, which what I offer is better than a CD, or the stock market, and our investment gets a fixed rate of return and is backed by real estate, so it doesn't have the volatility that any investment in the stock market has. So that's my ideal lender. And really, it boils down to it's an individual person who has money and they want to lend it on my real estate deal.
Mm-hmm. But they're not in the business of lending money, so they don't.
Yeah, correct.
The thing about hard money lenders, I mean, God bless them. They definitely, like, for sure have their place in the world. They're easy, you know, they get you the money fast and get you close fast, all that sort of stuff. But the private lenders don't tell you what the rules are. They don't say here's the rate and here's how long you're allowed to have the money. It's something that y'all talk about between yourselves and you work it out to what makes you both happy.
Yes, completely. Which leads to a lot of flexibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can structure deals so that it's beneficial to us and our business and beneficial to them, and everybody's going to win. And it's amazing the terms that we can get for our real estate deals when they're comparing this investment to a CD or some other fixed rate of return, because there aren't that many options for them.
Give us an example. What is a typical hard money loan that you would get on one of your properties look like?
Typical hard money loan?
I'm sorry, no, private loan.
Private loan,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, typical private loan, my standard is 6% interest, interest-only payments for 10 years. And I came to that over years of offering the wrong type of investments and learning that this structure is exactly what our lenders want. So the rate that we pay, the interest we're willing to pay, they're comparing it to a dividend on a stock. And so the higher interest rate we're willing to pay, dividends, if the rate is too high, that equates to high risk. And so they see if we're willing to pay 10 or 12%, they see that as high risk. If we pay 6%, that equates to lower risk. They like interest only because it's just like a dividend and their money stays invested. They continue to get a good return on their money, and that's their top goal, is having their money invested in something that gives them a return. And then the 10 years, I thought my lenders wanted paid back originally, and I would pay them back, and they'd say, oh, I want another deal. And so then we started doing four-year notes, so their money would stay 4 years. And eventually we just extended it to 10. And still, you know, I just had one today that was on a four-year note. It was coming due. I said, would you like to just extend that, modify it to another 10 years? He said, yeah, definitely. So even when we get to the 10 years, they're going to want to extend it. The ideal lender, or most of the lenders I'm dealing with, they just want their money invested, getting a return. They're not a day trader or anything like that. They're not moving their money around. As long as they're happy with the investment, getting a good return on the money, then they just want to leave it there. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to help them do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. We need to take a quick break, Chad. I'm going to invite listeners to pop in here with their questions. You can call us at 877-772-9658. I'm going to say that again because of all the sevens. 877-772-9658. Also, we've got a text line at 513-432-4961. Or you can just send an email. It's vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones-Cox. My guest today is Chad Harris. If that name sounds familiar, he was one of the speakers at the 2025 National Real Estate Investing Summit. So I know a lot of you met him there. This year at the summit, he is going to do his own little private mastermind off in a corner where most of you will not see him. It's going to be limited to 12 people. And it's just going to be, it's a true mastermind. You guys know what masterminds are, right? You don't, there's not a lecture. You sit around and you bring your biggest problem, in this case, your biggest problem that you're having with raising private money. And a bunch of smart people, including Chad, help you with that problem, and you leave with like solutions and next steps and all sorts of things. Masterminds are super powerful. We should do more masterminds. But anyway, if you'd like to know more about Chad's mastermind and see if you qualify, you can go to nationalreisummit.com, nationalreisummit.com. Again, very limited seating there. And I will just tell you, you can't go if you've never bought a deal. this isn't a class on how to get private money. This is for people who, like, you know what private money is and you are actively buying properties that you could use private money on. And yet you're not getting the private money that you would like to get. That's what the mastermind's for. NationalREISummit.com. So Chad, speaking of problems that people have with getting private money, why does it seem like some people like yourself just attract these folks who are like anxious to take 6% interest and let you have the money for 10 years and just get payments, and other people just struggle and struggle and struggle with ever, quote, finding a private lender?
Yeah. Yeah. I work with people all the time on how to raise money. And the people who struggle, like you're describing, are usually focused on the money, which seems natural when you're trying to raise money for your real estate deal. But usually the people who struggle are focused on the money and they're looking at it as a transaction, not really building a relationship with the lender. They're not showing a lot of concern for the lender. And, you know, the people who succeed and do well and just attract lenders like crazy, one is they are confident. They are concerned about their lender. They can explain how this is beneficial to the lender, right? Every investor knows how it'll benefit them to get low interest, long-term money. But why is this so beneficial to the lender? And really, they know that the deal is going to get funded. And so you have this perspective shift of, instead of going to this individual person and thinking you are asking for money to get your deal done, you are instead confident that your business is going to move forward and you're going to fund these deals with private money. And you are giving this individual the opportunity to be one of the lenders in your business and have all the benefits of the lenders in your business. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a small group, right? You don't need that many lenders, really, to fund all of the deals you'll ever need to do. And just that mental perspective shift is what I see being the difference between success and a lot of struggle.
You are not wrong. I think a lot of people are being taught by maybe social media influencers, or maybe I don't know who's teaching this kind of approach, but it's like they look at private lenders as human ATM machines. I'm gonna bring a deal. I'm going to ask for money and somebody's going to fund it because I've got a deal and I'm willing to pay them interest on my deal. And that just is not, in my experience at all, how it works. They are not ATM machines. They are people with their own fears about this and goals and questions they need answered. And, you know, sometimes somebody's going to say, I can't do 10 years because my triplets are going to college in 6 years. And I'm going to need that money back in 6 years. Yeah. And you're going to have to do a different kind of deal than what you're used to doing. And, you know, they're people that kind of need to know you and trust you somewhat.
Completely.
People show up all the time at the haves and wants meetings on Friday morning with a deal that has to close in a week. And they've never talked to a private lender up until this point. And they're saying, yeah, here's my deal. I need, you know, this much money, which is usually 100% of the value of the property. And I need it in a week and I want it at 8% interest. And it's like, okay, well, that's, you know, 8% would be kind of a generous offer for a private loan, but we don't know you. Like, where have you been?
You could have been
at meetings for months, you know, telling us who you are, telling us what you do, asking if anybody wanted to have lunch because you were looking to make some connections with private lenders, but none of that happened. It was just like one day, I've got a deal, where's my money?
Yeah. And they expect that people should be jumping at that chance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the easiest time to raise money is before you even have the deal.
Yep.
Right. And then you're more focused on the relationship and that relational nature with the other person, the potential lender. And it's low pressure. That lender can consider the idea and even agree that they want to be involved because you don't even have the deal yet, right? You're just presenting the target deal or the example deal.
And presenting yourself.
Yeah.
And presenting your own credibility. And if they want to go walk a property you're fixing up right now, they can go do that.
Completely.
We're going to go to the phones and talk to Norma calling on line one. Norma, welcome to Real Life Real Estate. Norma?
Hello.
Hey, Norma.
Yes. Hey.
Welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Thank you for taking my call. So this is an interesting conversation. Hi, Chad. Hi, Vina. I didn't think that private money lenders would loan for 10 years. That's just my thought. So So I've been enlightened on that. So what is the average amount that they lend? And just to confirm that for them to have peace of mind, they put a lien on your property. And are you also a part of their insurance policy in case something happens to the property?
Correct. Yeah. I guess to answer a couple of questions, your lender is going to get all the security that a bank gets. So your private lender will get the mortgage documents that are recorded. And so it's secured by that real estate. They're going to be co-insured so that if something happens to the property, their investment is paid back to them completely. So that definitely true. And then as far as how much they would lend, typically, it really just depends on the lender and how much they have to lend. But I would say that usually the lenders are going to lend a smaller amount first, right, and dip their toe in the water and initiate that relationship. And then once they see you pay them monthly, report to them on what your business is doing, and they gain more confidence in you, then they just keep lending you more money and more money. So you don't really need a lot of lenders. You just need to initiate with a few private lenders, and maybe that loan is for the full purchase and rehab. Maybe it's just the rehab. Maybe it's just furniture on a midterm rental, right? But we want to initiate that first investment so that we can build the relationship with the lender, build credibility, get them familiar with the process, and then they'll keep lending.
That's a great answer. Now, if a person was lending for furniture in a medium-term rental, what would that look like? Would you still lien the person's property on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, furniture. Yeah. As you know, Norma, what you pay for furniture to put into a short or midterm rental is not what that is worth later if it has to be repossessed and sold. Or at least that's been my experience. So, you know, I've made loans to people that they said the use of the loan is I'm going to furnish this house and make it into a midterm rental. And I said, great, I need to know how much equity is in the property because I need a lien against the property. And they say, well, I only need $7,000. Yeah, but I don't want my $7,000 to walk out the door and never be seen again. So I need a lien against the property.
Okay. Yeah.
Completely.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. That's interesting stuff.
Yeah, so
I'll let the next person ask the question.
Well, Norma, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You're just now hearing that private lenders are willing to loan their money out for 5-10 years or more. How do you feel about asking people to loan you the money for 10 years? Does that give you any I'm not sure I want to do that?
Well, Is this a first lien, a first position lien that
sometimes,
you're talking about?
Sometimes not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the money you need to make up the difference in like a down payment and repair costs for a subject two, or an owner held mortgage. Mm-hmm. So that would be in second position.
Right. The only thing that gets me is the interest only part. I would prefer to pay some principal. Obviously, that's a lot of money to put out and not ever pay down the principal. But from a standpoint from a private lender, I was considering doing that. So I'm just trying to figure out how to structure.
Yeah, see, it sounds like you're still a little torn about, you know, are these really terms that I would offer? Let me point out, A, that if you do an interest-only loan, your cash flow's higher.
Yes, of course.
And
cash flow.
Let me also say that until you get over that thing in your own head where you're like, man, I'm not sure I would do that, you're never going to raise 10-year money.
Well, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I know that if you have a big project, that it makes sense because you could sell the property in 5 years and pay back the loan. Right.
Yeah. Or
and your
or in 10 years you can just get another loan.
Well, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Because your equity is still
there.
Yeah, the fact that you're not paying the mortgage down doesn't mean you don't have equity at the end of 10 years. I mean, hopefully you bought in a neighborhood where the prices went up.
That is the key thing. Make sure the value of the property is going to increase. That's key.
Although, I will tell you, Norma, I had some private loans that I got in 2004, 5, and 6 that ballooned in 2008, 9, and 10. And I had to have some discussions with my private lenders because my big plan was I'm going to refi these. I'm going to go to the bank and get a refi. And there was no bank. Like, there was nobody who would give me a loan. And also, even if there was, the property values had dropped 30%. So even though my private loan was only for like 70% when I bought it, it was 100% by the time the loans ballooned. And I had to make some calls to people and say, listen, here's what's going on. You're reading the newspaper, right? So we can either keep going with this for another 5 years or so and see what happens. Or I guess you can have the house if you want it. And everybody,
well, what happened?
Everybody chose to extend. 100% of the people chose to extend.
Yeah, because it wasn't a good time to sell then either, huh?
Well, they should have taken the house, honestly, because like they could have.
Yeah, yeah.
If they'd held on it till 2014, they would have 1.5 times their money. But typically, private lenders are not people who really want to do what we do. They don't really want to own houses and deal with tenants and deal with, you know, maintenance and all that kind of stuff. They usually just want to put their money in and get a check.
Completely.
Yeah, that's a nice next step for me to do. That's why I was asking those questions. But,
yeah, well, you let me know when you decide to do that, Norma. You've got my phone number.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I have some big projects going on that interest only makes sense because it'll be a lower mortgage payment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
As long as the property increases in value. But yeah, interesting conversation.
Thank you
for taking my call.
All right. Thanks for your call, Norma.
Okay.
We need to take another quick break. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing, talking today about what you don't know about private money. You can give us a call at 877-772-9658, or you can send us an email at vinoradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today to Chad Harris. He's from the Dayton area, by the way, so right here in Ohio. And he's been one of the most successful raisers of private money for single family homes that I know, who doesn't get on TikTok 8 times a day and talk about how cool he is in order to find the people to give him money. Because Chad, what you do is very different. We've seen some very high profile fundraisers, like syndications, like apartment building syndications, that have gone badly wrong in the last few months. And I think we're not done seeing that, because the apartment world is suffering from some issues around what happens when you buy a property at a 3 cap, and then when your loan comes up for refi, it's at a 7% interest rate, and those numbers are just hard to make work. So
that's right.
You're not like pooling people's money. You're not going out and finding, you know, 150 people with $100,000 a piece and putting together $15 million into one big package and then putting it on one property. You're doing more like one person, one property.
Yeah, typically it's one person to one property. If they're looking to invest a large amount of money, then we may bundle multiple properties and do a blanket loan.
Do a blanket loan.
Properties.
Okay,
yep.
So in that case, it's one person mini properties as opposed to mini person's one property. Okay, so we got a text from Stephanie in Nashville. She says, can you walk through what steps you take once a private lender agrees to lend money to you to purchase a property? How does that work tactically in terms of writing your purchase offer and closing on the property?
Writing your purchase offer and closing on the property. Okay, perfect. Great question. So the private lender has said they're willing to lend up to a certain amount, and you essentially have proof of funds if they want to write a letter and say they'll fund that amount, or if, let's say, you have a retirement account that has that amount in it, you can use that as proof of funds, even though you're going to fund the deal from your private lender. Then you're going to make your offer to the seller, right? Whether that's a listed property or directly to seller. And once you have the purchase contract, you will submit that to your title company. At least in here in Ohio, we're using title companies. So you would submit that to the title company along with your lender's information, and you would provide the documents for your lender, the mortgage and notes and all the documents there to close the loan as well. And then your private lender will fund the closing. The title company will disperse all the money to the seller and anybody else who gets money at the closing, and then any extra money you would receive if you raised money for the rehab. Mm-hmm. That's how it would work.
Mm-hmm. So on that, so there's a on the board purchase contract, there's a place that says financing contingency, and then there's boxes you can check: FHA, VA, conventional, mm-hmm. other. What do you check when it's private money?
It is a cash closing. So it is, there's no financing contingency. You're showing that you have the money. And usually that's what the title company wants as well, that it's a cash closing, even though we're bringing our own documents.
Okay.
With the lender.
So what that means, though, if you check the cash box, what that means is if your private lender falls through and you cannot, in fact, get to the closing with enough money to close, that you could lose your earnest money because you said there's no financing contingency, but really, from your perspective, you needed that private lender to show up at the closing.
Well, yeah, but contractually that is true. Yes. Mm-hmm. I would argue that if you something rare happens where your private lender does fall through, which would be rare if you built this relationship with this individual and they know they have the cash available and they've already said they like the investment, there would have to be some rare example where they would not follow through. But if they did, yes, we would need hard money lender, some other non-ideal lender to follow through with that closing.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, you might need to run and go get a hard money lender real quick, because that's that's the sort of thing where they are really handy, is that if you need to close in a few days, a lot of hard money lenders can actually do that. It's going to cost you more. And you're probably still going to be looking for a private lender to get out of that hard money loan, but that is a possibility.
Yeah. Or if you have multiple private lenders that you work with, usually you have access to more money than you're using currently, and you can reach out to another private lender.
Mm-hmm.
If you already have the relationship built with your private lenders, you can get deals funded very quickly, even faster than hard money. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a question from Jane from Mansfield. Jane says, how do you talk to the private lenders about the risk without scaring them away? I feel like I should tell them the possible risks even if they don't ask, but at the same time, I can't figure out how to say it without making them run for the hills.
Yeah, perfect question. Yeah, the people who struggle, they try to avoid talking about the risks, right? And even though we all know that anytime we're going to present one of these opportunities to a potential private lender, they're going to have in their head questions about risk, right? What happens if you don't pay me my monthly amount, or how do I know you're going to pay me the monthly payments, or what happens if the house catches on fire? They'll have all kinds of questions. And for us to successfully answer those questions and really bring up the risks involved with the investment, we need to answer those before they ever ask them, right? That demonstrates that we understand who they are and their situation. So we're going to bring up how they can confidently lend us money knowing they'll get paid monthly, what would happen if they weren't getting paid, how does that work, what is the next step, what happens if the house catches on fire, what happens if the tenant doesn't pay rent, right? All of those questions that may be going through their mind already, if we address those right off the bat, that shows that we're confident, transparent, authentic, and really that's what they're after. They want to know that we see there is some risk, and we've thought that through, and we already know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. The worst thing that can happen in my mind when I'm talking to a new potential private lender is that they don't ask those questions. Because if they don't ask them, they're probably still thinking them. And if they're not thinking them, then somebody, like, they're going to go home and go, oh my gosh, I just had this great conversation with somebody. I'm going to make these loans. And then that person's going to say, well, what if? And you want them to bring them up so that you can answer them. And you also, like, private lending just isn't for everybody. I've had a couple of potential private lenders that after the conversation, I was like, you know, this, you're going to be too nervous about this. I can't make you the promises that you want me to make you about if you need the money back next week, I can just give it to you because it's not in my pocket anymore. It's in the house. This is not something that you should be doing. You need something way more liquid than what we're talking about.
Yeah. There are, you know, multiple people that I would say you don't want to have as a lender. One is if they don't have very much money, they're trying to lend all their money. Another is if they don't fully understand the investment or fully understand what you're offering. Or I've had potential lenders who want to be hands-on and try to tell me what paint color to use, and that's not my ideal lender either.
We need to stay in our lanes here.
That's right.
You're the money person. I'm the one who knows what color to paint things to get them rented.
Yeah, completely.
Is there anything that you've seen investors do that, like, they think it's building credibility, but in reality it's hurting them?
Yeah, usually people, especially, you know, if they're newer into real estate, but I think this happens a lot from anybody trying to raise private money, they try to build credibility by focusing on the deal. And they think the deal and the fact that they understand the deal will demonstrate their credibility. In reality, most lenders, the deal is just security for the loan. Right? They don't care that much about the deal. They don't want the house. They don't care if it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. They just want to know that there's enough equity in the house that if something happens, they'll get their money back. And that's really all they want to know about the deal. And so in building credibility, we want to demonstrate that we understand the process, exactly what opportunity we're presenting to them, why it's beneficial to them, and really the considerations for them. The deal is a minor thing in their mind. Mm-hmm. They want to know they're getting a return on their money that's benefiting them and that risks have been mitigated and considered. So that's the number one thing I see. The other one is they usually offer too much interest. You know, they think they're going to have to pay 10% and demonstrate they're familiar with real estate deals. And the higher the interest rate, the worse that looks to a private lender. The harder it's going to be to raise money, mm-hmm. which seems very counterintuitive to us real estate investors looking for a high return on our money. But it is completely true that as soon as we get above 8%, it just starts ringing in their head that this is a risky investment and what's really going on.
Well, and we should probably talk about that, because I think a lot of the people who are listening going, this guy, he sounds really nice, but he's such a liar. There's no private lenders in the whole world who don't want 12% and 4 points and 6 months and then more points if you want another 6 months. They are dealing with a particular kind of person, and that is mostly real estate investors who have money sitting around because they're looking for deals, but they're not finding deals. And yeah, they're willing to loan it out to somebody else, but yes, they do want a particular return. And that's not who you're dealing with. Those aren't the people you're dealing with.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and I understand that completely, right? When I've raised more money than I'm using, I lend it at those terms. So, but that's not who I'm raising money from. And if we think about who we're raising money from, they're looking at a return, a dividend rate that is well below 8. Okay, and they're comparing our investment to a CD that might be right now 4. You know, maybe it's 5. I haven't checked CD rates lately. But that's on a 6-month CD, where then they don't know where their money's going to be in another 6 months. So what we're offering is better than what they can get elsewhere. And as long as we understand their perspective, what they're seeing as their investment choices, and we present our deal or our opportunity is a better wording, to them, so that it's really beneficial to them, then they're going to say yes, right? It doesn't matter if a real estate investor would lend at 12. If the local bank's paying 4, they're going to be happy with 6. If their financial planner is telling them to expect 4% in retirement, they're going to be thrilled with 6 or 8. Mm-hmm. And especially for, you know, I'll never forget, I was meeting with one of my private lenders, and I was asking if he was happy with his investments, and he was talking about the trips he was taking his grandson on. And when I asked if he was happy with his investments, he just lit up, and he said, I'm thrilled. My financial planner told me to expect 4, and that at that time I was paying him 8. You're paying me double. That's double the trips I can take my grandson on. Right? And I love that for me, 8% is a good rate. That gives me a whole bunch of opportunities in getting into great deals. And for him, those profits from my business are giving him double the vacations with his grandson. Mm-hmm. I love that.
So investors, you're going to have to, for this purpose, leave the comfort of your local real estate association, perhaps, and go meet some people out in the real world who might be private lenders at 6 or 8% for 10 years. Unfortunately, Chad, we are out of time. So I do want to encourage folks again who are, you're doing deals, you know what private money is, you're just not quite there yet in having, you know, lots of private money at your fingertips. Look at Chad's all-day mastermind at the National Real Estate Summit. You can get more information on that at nationalreisummit.com. Also, don't forget tomorrow night's RIA meeting. It's all about how to actually use AI, how normal people actually are using AI right now to make their real estate investment businesses easier. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.